women will just take over. Women will, they want like some sort of like bizarro woke Planet of the Apes situation. That really is what these people want. They, men will live in cages and women will run rampant and lesbians will take over and blah. It's just like, that really is my blowjob theory in action right there. Like, Will, I have just no doubt that Will Ferrell's wife is a feminist, right? Found a meme of me on the internet. What a weird, wild place it is. That was your cold open. I'm that guy, Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It is April 11th, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube as always. If you'd like to join us, help keep us independent, get videos early and ad-free, and watch the post-game show just 30 seconds after this program. It's RubinReport.locals.com. And before we start, I just heard this 2 minutes ago, O.J. Simpson. Former Buffalo Bills football player, also a guy who either did or didn't kill his ex-wife and Ron Goldman back in 1994. He has just died of cancer, 76 years old. I don't know that it was public that he had cancer, but you know, he, I think in many ways, and I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of stuff written about this over the next couple days and a lot of docs and programs, news things, about what that time in America was like and sort of, I guess in some ways, how it led to a lot of where we're at right now with a certain amount of racial division because we were so divided in terms of whether people thought he was guilty or innocent just based on race alone, the fact that the two victims were white and all that. And everybody of a certain age remembers exactly, I'd love to know in the comments down below, and we'll read some in the post game, where you were, if you remember where you were during the O.J. Simpson car chase. And I remember exactly where I was on the O.J. Simpson car chase. It was June 17th, 1994. It was my senior prom. I was at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City, senior prom, 1994. And everyone just remembers that. And I remember everyone just basically leaving the dance floor and going to the bar. We were underage. I don't even think we were allowed in the bar to watch the O.J. Simpson car chase. And it was just a crazy time. I think everybody also remembers where they were when the verdict, the innocent verdict, came out. If the glove don't fit, you got to acquit. Something to that effect. And I was a sophomore in college at that point, so the trial went on for quite some time. Anyway, it's an interesting just cultural moment with him passing and how so much of that craziness and, you know, cable news and getting inside courtrooms, that was really the first time that all happened. It really was a moment that changed the American media landscape, I think did something in terms of the racialization of everything, and probably has some through lines to where we are today. And as I said, I'm sure many, many people will be doing many long documentaries and other exposés on all of that. And actually, it's loosely connected in some ways, because we're going to talk about some race stuff to some of the things that we're talking about today. You know, Dr. Phil, who I had on the show a couple weeks ago, has launched a new independent show now. And he had a beautiful takedown of one of these sort of woke, crazy DEI people. We're going to connect that to Maxine Waters. And yeah, she's still bananas. And then also show you how the media is framing a police shooting of a young black man and how disconnected it is from actually what happened. And then on the other side, we will get to a community Q&A. So if you want to throw some questions in on the fly, RubinReport.locals.com. That is what we are doing today. And real quick, let me talk to you guys about TWZ Health. Guys, the U.S. government has collaborated with the Chinese scientists again on a project aiming at making certain strains of bird flu more infectious and more deadly. Does that sound familiar? So what do we think happens next? Someone gets infected with bird flu, and now shockingly, scientists are saying that this particular bird flu strain could be, and I quote, 100 times worse than COVID. So how long until forced masks, forced lockdowns, and forced vaccinations? Right in time for elections, perhaps. Thank God I live in the free state of Florida. Do you have what your family needs needs this time around? Anyone who's paying attention knows that the medical tyrants are far from done with us, but Americans are waking up and understanding that now more than ever, we need to have these life-saving medications on hand. They aren't just remedies, they're lifelines for the next time, which could be any day now if the scientists following this bird flu strain have anything to say about it. The wellness company's prescription medical emergency kit contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak. plus a guidebook to tell you exactly how and when to use them. You won't find anything like it in a store or pharmacy. Every American should have at least one of these kits in their home. Ordering your kit is so simple and takes less than 2 minutes. Go to twc.health/Reuben and use code Reuben to purchase your kit with $45 off and free shipping. For the cost of a single doctor's visit, all 8 prescription medications will be shipped to your door, whether it's bird flu, monkeypox, cyber attacks, or drugstore shortages. Oh, the list goes on. You'll have what you need no matter what. 2024 is the year to be prepared. Safeguard your health today by going to twc.health/Reuben and use code Reuben at checkout. So I want to start with this Dr. Phil clip. This is just a beautiful destruction of a DEI advocate, and watch how easily and simply and beautiful Dr. Phil does a little, let's say, operating.
Some demographics come to the table and have to overcome racism, unconscious bias, misogyny. And so how do we help level the playing field for everyone?
Okay, so that means you're trying to create equality of outcome. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear you saying about playing God. Yeah. How do you create equality of outcome when people aren't the same? You're right. Some people are shorter. Some people are taller looking over that fence. They can't both play in the NBA.
Right.
You can't create equality of outcome. What gives a DEI program the right to come in and try and alter the nature of things to create equality of outcome? So, that's been tried. That didn't work. That was called Marxism.
Yeah, that was called Marxism. You can call it communism. You can call it socialism, whatever you want to call it. You guys get it, right? We are all different. We all have different skills. Some of us are born with a lot of resources into wealthy families, and sometimes those wealthy families have all sorts of problems and lose all of that wealth in one generation. Sometimes it does become generational wealth. Some people are born with absolutely nothing and become billionaires, and we love those stories. Some people have great physical skills. Some people are born with some sort of disability. All of those things exist. That is the gestalt. That's the word of the day. That is the gestalt of life. That is the difference that we all have, that humans just have. And if you want everyone to be equal at the end, which of course is impossible because we all are different. And what do you mean? So you basically have to turn us all into robots. We are all different. I got 5 people in this room right now. We are all different. We all like different things. We all are different heights and weights, and we have different behaviors. Everyone knows that. So they want to artificially create an outcome on the other side based on the least important things about all of us, our skin color and our gender and everything else. And of course, the reason I really want to show you that clip was, of course, it is a middle-aged lefty white woman who is looking out for the black guy who doesn't even want that sort of quote unquote handout. But I want to connect that, this endless racialization of everything and the way we treat each other, to some of our politicians of the day. Maxine Waters over there in California. She lives in Hancock Park in a house that's probably worth about $8 million. Of course, that's not the district that she covers. Her district is not doing nearly as well as that, but somehow she became a multimillionaire in the midst of all of this. She said that she was at a restaurant and she was the victim of racist attacks. I'm very concerned about this. Let's take a look.
As a member of Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant, and they don't say racist things, but right. What they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black, you would not be approached that way.
Right, they probably would not. Right, they would think twice about doing it. They think that they can get away with doing it with you and that.
Okay, so this is spectacular. She says she is the victim of a racist attack because somebody recently came up to her in a restaurant and said that they didn't like something that she did. She goes out of her way to say they didn't say anything racist. But apparently if you approach a black congressperson and say anything about their policies, that makes you racist. Do you realize how absolutely insane that is? Now, interestingly, it only took us about a millisecond to find this video back in 2018 when Congresswoman Maxine Waters was demanding that mobs get up in the face of Donald Trump's cabinet members and supporters.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Now, I suppose if a man went up to her at a restaurant and said, you're not welcome here at the restaurant, she would say that's racist. But look, you guys get it. The hypocrisy with these people is off the charts. They have ushered in all of this lunacy. When they get the slightest pushback, she's even admitting the guy didn't say anything racist to her. But of course, it's not just her. The Democrats systematically, and it's the progressives really who have now taken over the party, they have systematically gone out of their way to destroy all of our norms. You remember this one? This is AOC. Back when, do we have video of this? Or no, this is just her tweet. This is just AOC's tweet when, remember when a mob showed up at the Capitol Grill, I think in DC, to mob Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice, and he had to go out of the restaurant, out of the back. She wrote, poor guy, he left before his souffle because he decided half the country should risk death if they have an ectopic pregnancy within the wrong state lines. It's all very unfair to him. The least they could do is let him eat cake. Now, of course, if anyone showed up to a restaurant that AOC was at, or if they showed up to her building to protest her idiotic policies or anything else, she would in turn say it was racist and these people were ultra MAGA supporters and, you know, insurrectionists and the rest of it. The reason I'm showing you this is not to expose the hypocrisy. You guys all get the hypocrisy. I want you to understand that whatever you think the norms are, whatever the norms are, as it relates to the border, as it relates to how we talk to each other, whatever norms there are about whether you're allowed to break into stores and just steal stuff or not. A buddy of mine in Jersey just sent me a video this morning. He was at his local CVS, and he lives in a pretty decent area in Jersey, was showing me that now they're locking up even the detergent. Like, it's things are just out of control. All of the norms are being crushed. And now I want to show you another way the norms are being crushed, through the faulty media. So you might have heard that a young black man, 26-year-old guy by the name of Dexter Reed, was recently shot by police. I want to show you some of the headlines on this. This is really wide. So this is just a series of headlines of a young black man shot by Chicago police. Now, as you guys know, dozens of people get shot, black people, by other black people in Chicago every freaking weekend, and it doesn't make any headlines because it doesn't fit the narrative. But just a couple of these headlines I want to show you, and then we'll tell you what really happened. Dexter Reed shot, killed by Chicago police after traffic stop. Letters, police shooting of Dexter Reed, reeks of fear, bias, and poor training. Deadly Chicago traffic stop where police fired 96 shots raises serious questions about the use of force. Wild video shows Chicago police fired nearly 100 shots in less than a minute during a fatal traffic stop. Why did Dexter Reed traffic stop shootout with Chicago police escalate so quickly? Killing of Dexter raises questions about Chicago police reform. The message, go in guns blazing. Okay, so you might, after seeing those headlines, and that's pretty much everywhere, think that the police just executed this young black man, which is what the left and the Democrats and the media would love you to think, that police, even though the mayor of Chicago is black, are just out there shooting young black men. Of course, that is not true. He shot first. We have a little more information here from Ian Miles Chong. The media and Chicago politicians, including Mayor Brandon Johnson, are painting the police shooting of Dexter Reed as a travesty of justice after the 26-year-old was shot almost 100 times by police officers. I am personally devastated to see yet another young black man lose his life during an interaction with the police, said Johnson. My heart breaks for the family of Dexter Reed. What they're not telling you is that he opened fire first. What they're also not doing is using his mugshot, preferring instead to show you a picture of Reed, a convicted felon, as a gifted academic student whose life was taken from him years before his time. So why did the police have their guns drawn in the interaction with Reed? In July 23, he was arrested for aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, firearm. They ran his license plates and saw his felony record and approached his vehicle with extreme caution. And judging from that fact, he winded up his tinted windows and opened fire from the inside of the vehicle seconds before the police could respond. They were right to take precautions and call for backup. So I watched the full video on this. You can see it yourselves. I didn't feel that we needed to show it to you, but you are obviously welcome to do your own research. he shot first. They asked him to get out of the car. They asked him to roll down the window. They asked him to open the door. You could say maybe they shot too many times. Once he starts shooting, a whole bunch of them have to start shooting back. It's as simple as that. This was not an execution, but it's more about how the media frames all of this. Now I want to show you, because then you see how the victim thing starts. And if it wasn't for the video on this one being so obvious, we would definitely have sort of George Floyd riots in the streets again. Here's a short video of Dexter Reed's mother explaining what happened.
He had just bought his new car 3 days before that, and he was just riding around in his car. He said, "Mom, Floyd for a ride," and they killed him.
Okay, he's a young man who's dead, and I can only imagine the pain of the mother. That video is being shown as if he was just executed. Again, he was not just executed. You may not have even heard of this story because it doesn't quite fit the narrative, right? Because there was too much evidence of it not being just some sort of execution. He literally shot at the police officers first after they stopped him for a traffic offense and did a little research on the license, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to connect this more broadly to everything that seems to be breaking down right now, and all of the things that we're seeing, and everyone kind of is walking around like, what is rock bottom and everything else. I want to show you this video of James Lindsay. You guys know James Lindsay. I've had on the show many times. I think he is probably the single best, maybe alongside Chris Rufo, explainer of the sort of woke ideology, the connection between that and Marxism, as Dr. Phil laid out. And he was asked, what does woke even mean? And I really want you to hear sort of a technical definition of woke.
So here's the definition of equity, and see if it sounds like a definition of anything else you've ever heard of. The definition of equity comes from the public administration literature. It was written by a man named George Frederickson. And the definition is an administered political economy in which shares are adjusted so that citizens are made equal. Does that sound like anything you've heard of before? Like socialism? They're going to administer an economy to make shares equal. The only difference between equity and socialism is the type of property that they redistribute, the type of shares. They're going to redistribute social and cultural capital in addition to economic and material capital. And so this is my thesis when we say, what is woke? Woke is Maoism with American characteristics.
Okay, so the idea is that Marxism was really an economic way of redistributing everything, that everyone would be equal. And of course, again, you know this, everyone's not equal. There's always the layer that have all of the stuff and everyone else gets sort of nothing. And that creates equity amongst the people. The reason I wanted to show you that clip is because what we've now seen out of the Democrats is not only they want to redistribute money, will take from them and give to them, and giant government programs that create the cycles of poverty and all of that. But they want redistribution when it comes to health. They want redistribution when it comes to virtually every part of your life. They want equity at the end. So we want health equity, we want education equity, all of these things, but you're gonna have to kill a lot of people to accomplish all of that. I wanna connect this loosely to a video that I saw. So Sage Steele, who's absolutely a gem. I had her in studio yesterday. We're gonna put that up in a couple days. It was an absolutely wonderful interview. This is a woman who is her dream was to be an ESPN anchor, which she became. Big NBA basketball fan grown up. She became a really fantastic anchor. Got in a lot of trouble over there at ESPN when she started talking about how racialized they were becoming, and then got in a real lot of trouble when she said she didn't want to get vaxxed. We played some clips of her over the last week or so where she is now admitting that when she did an interview with Joe Biden, how scripted it was and she wasn't allowed to ask follow-up questions and all that. But I want to connect that, this equity on the other side, that we're going to have to ruin people's lives in the name of saving other people, to another woman that you know, Gina Carano. And of course, Gina Carano, former MMA fighter, becomes an actress. She ends up in Mandalorian, right? She ends up in Mandalorian on Disney. It's one of the Star Wars series. She does not want to get vaxxed. She starts speaking up about that, ultimately loses her job. They call her racist, all the stuff. Here is Sage Steele. So these are two canceled women who are now thriving by fighting all of this woke BS. Here they are talking about what it's like to get canceled and whether they have any regrets.
But I asked about the masks, and I asked about the lockdowns, and I asked, you know, about the vaccines. And would I take any of it back? My best friend texted me 2 years ago, and he said he had been to prison for 4 years for a DUI, and as soon as he got out of prison, he moved straight in with me. And I hadn't seen him for a couple years, but he was like the person that knew me, and I knew him. And we were not perfect individuals, and he wasn't perfect. But he texted me, and he called me Bumblebee, because I'm always bumbling, or I'm always buzzing about. And we lived together for 6 years, and he said those 6 years that I lived with you were the best times of my life, because it was the healthiest he had ever been. And so then he texted me, and we started talking, and he's not online. You know, he likes to be in gyms, and he likes to, you know, just, he's not online. So somehow he didn't know what I was standing for and not forcing vaccinations on people. And he said, oh, I said, did you get the vaccine? And he said, yeah, I got the vaccine. I got the Pfizer. You know, I need to be ready if you ever need me to come overseas. I was like, Anthony, I didn't get it. And he was like, oh. And we joked around about it a little bit. And the next day he passed away. So when people ask me if I would have done anything different, I would have screamed. I would have screamed so much louder.
Okay, it's a really fantastic interview. You should check out Sage Steele's page if you want to see the full thing. But the reason I'm showing you that, because you might go, well, what are all the connections here? We're talking about race. We're talking about police shootings. We're connecting it to COVID. How is this all connected? And the reason it's all connected is that we need good people to stand up for what's right now, whether it is in relation to the hyper-racialization, whether it is in relation to the sexualization of children, whether it is in relation to watching what's happening at the border. We need more and more good people. Those two women, neither one of them, I can tell you, having sat down with Sage yesterday, this was not a woman who intended on being in this fight. She wanted to talk about sports for the rest of her life. Gina Carano wanted to be an actress. She was happy to be in Star Wars, and now she's in the fight. More, but we need more. We need more. We need you. We need the people you know. More of us to just say enough of this, because things are melting down right now. And I want to connect this to something else that I talked about a couple times this week, which is that we're seeing a lot of fighting on the right now. And I really want to be someone that can build some bridges related to that, to whatever extent or whatever influence that I have, because we all know all the problems of the woke. We do it all day long. We all know the problems of the Democrats and the left and the guy with dementia and all of the stuff. We have an opportunity right now to make sure that we don't go off the deep end too, the way the Democrats went off the deep end. And Jesse Kelly, who I've had on the show a couple times from the first, who we'll have on again soon, he had a good tweet on this, and I think it's important to understand this. The old GOP is slowly going away. That's good. But that doesn't necessarily mean the new GOP will be better. It will be different. But the infighting happening now and in the coming years will determine if it's any better. Stay involved. The involved ones will decide. And I think that that's really where we're at. The old guard of the GOP, now you might say they're a little bit better than the Dems, but have been pretty bad on a lot of things. They are disappearing. The Mitch McConnell class is gone. Like, they are on the way out. There will be a post-Trump time as well at some point, right? Just for age, if no other reason. We have an opportunity right now to start building the better stuff. And if enough of us can keep our eyes focused on, okay, the woke and the Democrats have gone crazy, but I think Tucker and Ben Shapiro want to live in the same country. I think those of us who are maybe begrudgingly pro-choice with a couple week limit, and some people who are purely pro-life, we can figure out a way to talk about that as it relates to states' rights and everything else. Like, we have a chance right now, but we believe that America is good. We believe our founding documents are good. We believe in individual rights. We believe in live and let live. Like, we can do this right now, but all of the forces are set up against us. It's not just the media forces, it's the social media forces, and it's AI and the algorithms. And I just want to read one more thing before we get into the community Q&A. This is a tweet of mine that I showed you yesterday that's going pretty viral. And I just want to sear this into your brain, because I think this is the thing we're fighting right now. Social media has been crazily toxic to our culture. Politics is no longer about politics. It's about energy chasing the fringe for clicks and views. And every fringe has a fringe. Until we wisen up to that, we will continue the race to the bottom. Hint, there is no bottom. So that really is the point, guys. And that's the point of what Jesse's saying. The old GOP is going away. All of the old things are going away. This was just maybe where we were going to be at after 20 plus years with this thing, right? Like, maybe all of the old things had to go away. Hopefully we can take some of the good ideas of the past and bring them into the future. But as we watch everything change, we can either enter a world that will have endless neo-racism and confusion about genitals and sexuality and all of these things, or we could have a better world that is taking the best parts of what we've had in America and ushering them into a new world and healing some of that divide. So that's what my plan is going to be. We're going to get to a community Q&A in just a second. If you're on Locals right now and you want to get an extra question or two in, we've got Adi watching the chat at this very moment. Before we do that, let me talk to you guys about 1775 Coffee. Guys, are you a sleepy Joe who has zero cognitive performance like a Democrat? Scared of walking upstairs without being worried you're gonna fall down? Do you struggle to muster the focus and brain power for the basic things in life, such as eating ice cream or riding a bike? Seeing what's going on here. You need to stop drinking woke liberal coffee and start your day by drinking Rumble's very own 1775 Coffee. Never mind that it'll be the best tasting coffee you've ever had in your life. It is seriously good. It's also ethically sourced from a family farm in the high altitude mountains of Bolivia. So instead of waking up tomorrow morning and drinking your mold-infested, big corporation-owned, woke ideology coffee that's probably making you sick from the pesticides it's sprayed with, try Rumble 1775 Coffee. Support freedom of speech and build a parallel economy that actually values you. Go to 1775coffee.com right now and pick up your first bag. Use code Ruben to save 10% off your first order. My favorite roast is the medium, dark, my favorite roast is the dark roast. I always like dark roast. That's what I'm drinking right now. There's also medium, there's peaberry, a whole bunch of others. You won't regret it for a moment. Level up with your morning routine with a bag of 1775 coffee and sleep well at night knowing that your hard-earned dollars are going towards supporting freedom-loving creators like yours truly on Rumble, not the woke mob. Okay, and now back to me. All right, RubenReport.locals.com, community Q&A. Here we go. Shelly says, Dave, what's the status of you getting chickens? If you have started your own chicken coop, are the eggs tasting better? Lastly, was starting this endeavor worth the effort? So many of you guys know that we had a little chicken coop when we were in LA. And then when our dog Emma got sick, she lived a wonderful life, almost 16 years old, but it was a lot that last year. We let the chickens go. It was a tight situation in LA anyway, dealing with a very small coop and whatever. But we had Princess Leia, because she Leia the eggs. We had Kim Kardashian, and we had Blanche Fethereau. Pretty solid names for chickens, wouldn't you say? There was also, we wanted one called Stevie Chicks, but we just ran out of chicken room. Anyway, we just built an absolutely spectacular garden here, because I don't just talk about these things. I try to incorporate them in my life, and I think everyone's ability to get off the grid a little bit and grow some things. So we built I'd say it's probably about a 10 by 40 foot garden here, and we're growing lettuces and we're growing mint and we're growing all sorts of herbs and we're growing tomatoes and we're growing pineapples and we got mangoes and avocados and a whole bunch of stuff. We haven't done the chicken coop yet. That's my next project. We finally built this thing out. It's beautiful. The chicken coop is the next operation. It can be a little complex in Florida, especially in the summer because of the heat. So we're trying to figure out some shade things and everything else. But I just think having some ability to have a little food and not be so reliant on the system all the time. If we learn nothing over the last couple of years, could that be the one thing that you've learned? So stay tuned for an adventure on that. And if you want to see some pictures of the garden, I have posted them in Locals. Colorado says, can anything be done in Florida to protect against the insane rent? I'm not at all for government intervention, but I feel like the population boom is getting the better of many of us Florida OGs, and I don't want to have to leave the state in which I was born and raised. Fifth to seventh generation, maybe further, making a little over $18 an hour. I feel like I should be able to live in a one bedroom, one bath without having to take on a second job or sacrificing R&R. absolutely nowhere in my county ought to be $2,000 a month. I think there potentially could be some justification for some legislation that is protecting us from rent gouging. So look, this is a great question, and I am unbelievably sympathetic to this. I don't think I can tell you how much I love the original Florida OGs. When I meet some people, I generally like older people in general, like when I meet 60, 70, 80-year-old Florida OGs in my neighborhood here, or my folks have a little place on the other side, and I go there and see what people are up to, like, these people have done it right? Like, Florida Man was the joke, and now Florida Man is basically the hero of America. So Florida, if you look at what's going on here with the amount, you know, about 1 million people have come here in 3 years, the amount of construction that's happening here, all of this new money and everything else, it has what I would say is a good set of problems. So, you know, there are people that are coming in, they've got a lot of money. So if you come in and you've got a lot of money, you can buy houses, and then the OG people end up getting a lot of cash for their houses if they want to take that cash, and then they can hopefully move elsewhere in the state or whatever, or they don't have to move at all. But yes, what ends up happening is you get all of these people coming in, there's different financial pressures, and then rents start going up and everything else. I can tell you this because I discussed it with DeSantis. If you want to watch my last interview with him, there were 7 major infrastructure projects that Florida had on the docket that were going to be 20-year projects. He moved them all up to 7-year projects. Look how quickly we built the Brightline, the train here in Florida that now goes from Miami to Orlando. They're working on the Tampa route, and then they're going to, I think, take it down. So it'll basically bisect the entire state. They did it unbelievably quickly, only a couple years. It's a beautiful train. This is in contrast to California, which has dumped billions into a train to nowhere and nothing's happening. So yes, I don't know exactly how you can solve some of these things by legislation. The problem is, and Cali does a ton of this, when you start saying, okay, well, we're going to have affordable housing, you actually are artificially screwing with the market, which is why you said you don't like a lot of this legislation. And then it doesn't help in the long term. But you're right. So you're making $18 an hour, $18 an hour. Like, you should be able to live in a condo or an apartment, one bedroom, that's under $2,000. I don't know what part of town you're in. You know, there's different parts of Florida. But you know what we're going to do? If I could do a little something, you don't have to pay for locals anymore. We're gonna dump your $5 monthly contribution. I appreciate it. But that's the $5 that you can put towards that. That's a little something. So can we make sure to take care of that? And I thank you for the question. Glenn says, if Donald Trump somehow gets disqualified from the election this fall, what do you think RFK Jr.'s chances of winning the election are? And if Mr. Kennedy does win, do you think he would be able to reverse any of Mr. Biden's disastrous presidential acts? Well, first off, if you have not seen my sit down with RFK from a couple days ago, I loved talking to the guy. I had lunch with him before that, about 10 or 12 people there. He's thoughtful, he's interesting, it's not canned. You can see how much he loves America. He's just a good, decent man. Now, as far as Trump not being on the ballot, at this point, I don't think there's any way that's gonna happen short of a health issue. I think the cases are not working. I think the courts are ruling the right way to make sure he's on the ballots. Yes, could anything happen at this point? I suppose that is possible. And I suppose it's also possible that Joe Biden could fall up or down the stairs. So you know, it's funny, I'm going off the grid in August this year, as I do every year. And for the first time ever, I feel like this is the year. You know, a lot of weird things happen. I miss this and that. But, you know, life goes on, and then I come back and I get caught up. But both conventions are in August this year. So whether the Democrats nominate Biden, whether Trump is the, like, who the hell knows what's going to happen when I come back in September? By the way, Sage said she'll host the comeback show. We'll do that in September with Sage Steele. As far as RFK's chances, let's even if Trump's on the ballot, if RFK can get on all 50 ballots and DC, which he claims he can, they're going to lay out 2 states per week for the next however many weeks there are. I think there is some sort of chance. Huge amount of people have had it with Joe Biden. A huge amount of people have had it with Donald Trump. People want another way. The disaffected liberals like RFK. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's in the ether. It is a long shot. I'm not going to pretend it isn't. But the guy, watch the interview. Watch the interview. He's good. And I think we should be, whether you think he has a chance or not, or the ballot access, or what I was trying to encourage him to do was take over the Libertarian Party because they have the ballot access. So then that gets rid of your biggest hurdle, and then you're fully, like, he could take over the party tomorrow. I'm not totally privy to what the conversations they've had are. because he's obviously not a pure libertarian. But it's like, if you had full ballot access, then we have three legitimate presidential candidates right now. And there is a choice between these two people that a lot of people don't like. Whether you love one or the other, it doesn't matter. A lot of people don't like either one of them. Then we have something really interesting cooking. So it's about ballot access more than anything else. Conservative Chica says, who do you think Trump should pick as VP? I think Tulsi is probably the best choice. I think Tulsi, as a former Democrat, member of the military, young, true lover of America, going through her own red pilling, where for the conservatives who are a little concerned on her Second Amendment positions and some other things, abortion, she's really shifting in real time. And I know her well, and it's real and it's genuine, and she is a good human being. Like, she would be absolutely spectacular. I think she's the type of person that could allay some of the fears of that disaffected liberal from voting for Trump and being like, oh, you know, Tulsi is a good person. The disaffected Democrat thing, the fact that she left the Democrat Party, like, I think that works in her favor. I think she would be great. I think a little more of a traditional route for him might be a Marco Rubio. Could Marco Rubio do it? Are you allowed to have a president and a VP from the same state? It's always unclear to me whether that's even allowed, because obviously Trump lives in Florida and Rubio is a senator from Florida. You know, they'll always be, you know, I know a lot of the base wants either a Vivek or like a Carrie Lake or something like that. That's just not going to happen because you have to widen the tent, right? The whole idea is Trump's going to get the Trump people, so you don't pick a Trump person. You have to do something crazy and Trump, or not do something crazy, you have to do something different. Right, so last time, why did he choose Mike Pence? It was like, all right, I need the evangelicals to come and feel more comfortable with me. I'm a New York former liberal real estate guy. Can I get Mike Pence to help make the evangelicals comfortable with me? And it obviously worked the first time around. Now you seemingly have the evangelicals, so you want to find some new votes. You got to get somebody that some of the disaffected Dems. Tulsi just strikes me as number one on that. Amy says, what are your preferences of the following? Dessert or appetizer, cardio or weight training, massage or nap? Oh, I like these kind of questions. Wait, put it back so I make sure I get all of them. Dessert or appetizer? I am not a big dessert guy. I've really been cutting the sugar. I am as close to abs as I've been in about 30 years at the moment. I'm on a nice little workout routine and really eating right. So I'm an app guy. I like a nice tuna tartare. I like a little sushi as an app sometimes. A little beef tartare. I guess it's a tartare thing. Cardio or weight training? I don't lift that much. I lift maybe two or three times a week, and I'm not like the most strict lifter. It's a little bit of free weights, but I like to do cardio every day. We walk the dog for about 45 minutes in the morning. That's just a light walk. But then I usually do about a half hour on the elliptical, just try to break a sweat, and then just like a little bit of lifting. I don't really need to be like bigger than I am, but you know, everyone could always lose a couple pounds. Massage or nap? I do love a massage. There's nothing better than a good massage, but I'm gonna say nap. I love a nap. Like, if I can, it's rare because my days are so packed, but if I can just, even sometimes if we have a break, if I'm doing the show and then I do People of the Internet and then maybe I have a Fox hit at 4, sometimes the team's wondering where I am. I have closed my eyes for even 15 minutes. And even if you can't fully fall asleep, just like the act of kind of like closing your eyes, trying to remove some of the nonsense from your brain, I think it's great. You know, many of the more interesting people that I've talked to on the show over the years, when I've asked them like, what's their secret or what are some, you know, like how do they keep that amount of energy or focus? Like a little bit of a nap. There is a reason that in parts of the world like Spain, they take a siesta. Like just like a little reset for your brain. And especially having kids now where life is just like crazy all the time. And they take naps, it's like, even on the weekends. Like if they take a nap, they take a nap around 11:30, I'm like, damn, I'm out. And that's it. Prusky says, hey Dave, do you think that the right is going crazy, not only because of the things you laid out on the show, but because there is so much chaos? This election, in my opinion, is a truly very important one. Due to, if Biden gets another 4 years, we will be screwed. In my opinion, there's no law and order, and as you laid out, but some people have truly had their minds broke because of the BS that is spewed on mainstream thoughts. Yeah, it's a great question. You can see that what you're asking about there is really the focus of where I'm at with the show, I think, from now easily to the election, if not further. I think what is happening, as I laid out yesterday, I think there are business reasons that some people are going after some people. I think that's just a reality. I think people have their own political views or might have their own philosophical views and things of that nature, but I think there's a business fight brewing on the right as to what the future of conservative media will be. That's one thing. But actually, I think the other thing that you said is the real thing that's going on here. I think there is so much chaos right now. I mean, look at some of the things we just discussed in the show, like the media lying about another young black person being shot, the confusions around DEI, the hypocrisy of Maxine Waters saying that someone comes up to her in a restaurant, doesn't say anything racist, but that makes it racist, even though she was calling for people to go up to Republicans at restaurants. There's so much chaos around everything, the border stuff, the Middle East war, all of the stuff, that when there's chaos, everyone wants answers. Everyone wants like clean, obvious answers. And that's where the conspiracy theories start. That's where people start pointing at the other and everything else. That is really what I don't want to happen here. As I said earlier, to whatever extent I can heal some of that, that is really what I'm going to try to do. We've got, it just is the reality. We've got to get rid of this woke monster. We've got to get rid of the equity people and the woke people and the guy with dementia that's in charge of this operation. None of this is good. We have problems and issues that we have to hash out on the right, but I hope, it is my hope, and maybe it will be just a failed dream, but it is my hope that when 8 or 10 years ago, when the woke stuff was happening on the left and a few of us liberals were talking about it, we tried to wake up as many people as possible. I suppose we failed, and my feeling was let's build bridges to people on the right. I think we've done that pretty well. My hope is that as things get weird because of the chaos that you're talking about, as things get weird on the right, that the good people of the right will stop those fringes. And just say, no, we are a little bit better. And I actually think there's an opportunity to do that. People on the right believe that the country is good. They generally have a belief in something beyond themselves. Like there's a better defense, built-in defense mechanism that people on the right have than unfortunately the liberals who put tolerance, including tolerance of intolerance, at the apex of their hierarchy of importance. Rich on the Farm says, does Dave want to take up Hotep Jesus' challenge to a basketball game? I can see a 3-on-3 locals tournament in the future. So I don't know exactly who Hotep Jesus is, but someone sent me this tweet that Hotep Jesus wants to play basketball with me. This was because Ben and I shot a couple hoops, and Ben's got a decent 3-point shot. I was pleasantly surprised. Not opposed. I guess I need to know a little bit more about Hotep Jesus and his game. But I'm playing basketball 3 times a week. I'm playing really well these days. And that would be fun. We should get all of the crazy political people of the internet doing different things besides just talking about politics. Let's shoot some hoops. We could, whatever people want us to do. Sue, the chef. Oh, S-O-U-S. That's good. Hey, Dave, in 2016 and 2020, people wouldn't openly say I'm voting Trump. I recently noticed in clips that people will declare I'm not voting for Trump, but they won't say I'm voting for Biden, as they would have been unafraid to say 4 years ago. I'm amused at this apparent turn of events. Is it still okay not to say not Trump, but have you noticed their reluctance to declare support for Biden? Yes, this is a great point. I tried to hit on this about a week ago when we showed you Coleman Hughes on The View, and all the harpies on The View were going after him. And he's just kind of taking them out calmly one at a time and explaining why wokeness is bad and neo-racism is bad and the rest of it. And then he basically says, but I won't vote for Trump. Now, he never says he's voting for Biden. He doesn't say he's voting for RFK. But you might think in all of that, as they're trying to pin him as a conservative and anything else, he might say, but you know what, ladies, I know we disagree on this, but I'm voting for Biden. But he doesn't say that. And all of these disaffected liberal types, They're not really saying they're voting for Biden. I get a huge percentage of them either won't or won't publicly say they're voting for Trump. But yes, something has shifted there. There's nothing cool. We showed you the video of The Rock from a few days ago who endorsed Trump, endorsed Biden last time, now saying he regrets that and he's obviously not going to do it this time. But he didn't say he was going to vote for Trump. So again, that's why I would love to give energy, regardless of it happens or not, or if the ballot access happens or not, to a guy like RFK, because there should be more choices. This binary, this fake binary that we have, we all know it's kind of not working anymore. There is something that is between, well, I would say there's something between Donald Trump politically and Joe Biden politically, and there's something on the outside of both of them. We don't want the fringes to completely take over, like we're going to go to the netherworld on each side. But having more voices would be good. And I think, you're making an astute point. People are not out there like, where are all the celebs? Like, I love Joe Biden. Now, they'll trot him out before the election as it gets closer. But there's no cool factor there. And I think that's an interesting, it's just something to like pin and realize. Lil Red Sailboat says, Dave, how do I make those baked potatoes you talked about 2 days ago? So this was a baked potato concept that I got from a trip to, I was going up to SUNY Binghamton, driving up there, going to college 1 year, and I stopped at a Cracker Barrel for the first time, and I had what I thought was the best baked potato of my life, and they basically, they like dunked this thing in butter, and then they put salt and pepper on the outside of it. So I don't do it that way, but what I do is I take a baked potato, okay? You gotta poke some holes in it with a fork, okay? You're gonna bake it usually, I don't know, like 400 or 450 for an hour. I don't remember exactly what I do, I'd have to look. But what you're gonna do is take the baked potato, I want you to put olive oil all over the baked potato. You can get a nice little brush, brush it all over, and then take coarse is the key. I'm giving away my greatest cooking secret right now. Coarse salt and pepper mix. You can get it anywhere. You can mix it yourself if you want to get separate salt and pepper, but you can get a very easy coarse salt and pepper mix and just dust that whole thing with that. So you're basically covering the entire outside of it with salt and pepper. Then after you bake it, you put whatever you want in there. You can put your butter in there. You can put your chives, your cheese, et cetera, et cetera. But the outside is now crispy with salt and pepper, almost like a crust of a steak. And I'm telling you, it will be the best baked potato you ever had. Post some pictures in Locals. James says, my wife works for the federal government and I have seen some of the DEI material provided by her employer that is being used to force slash indoctrinate her into the concept of equal outcomes. How do I maintain an upbeat outlook while knowing that if Biden is reelected, sorry to use profanity in this comment, he will be free to put up his insanity on steroids because he will never have to run an election again? Well, first off, I greatly sympathize for your situation and your wife's situation. You know, we've been through this. What did the Biden administration do as it pertained to COVID and keeping your job and having to be injected with something that we now know did not even work? And now it's not an injection that she's being subjected to, but it's, well, I think you could say metaphorically, it's an injection of bad ideas. And if your wife happens to be white, which I probably suspect she is, she most likely will not get that promotion in the federal government. They're going out of their way to say, oh, you are black, you are a lesbian, you are a black lesbian, and you got a lazy eye and a limp. Damn, you got the fast track to VP. This is a huge problem. I would say to whatever extent you can extricate yourself from that, I'm guessing, you know, if she's worked there for years, the federal government does pay major benefits when you retire, so she probably doesn't want to retire and she wants to cash in on that, and I understand that. You have to make sure she doesn't get infected by those ideas. I guess you could show her this show and some of the other like-minded shows out there. But everyone's dealing with some version of this. I know people in almost every industry. I know people in Hollywood. I think I told you guys about a lighting guy that I know who's done some lighting for some of the many studios that we've built over the years, who was a lefty his entire life, and he thought I was a little crazy. It was kind of funny. We were having him build studios for us, but he always thought I was a little kind of right-wing maniac, and he's won multiple Emmys for lighting in his 60s, white guy, and he said to me when he was building a studio for us about 2 years ago, finally, he was like, Dave, I actually kind of get what you've been saying over all these years because the studio just told me that I should take an early retirement because they don't need white guys my age anymore. And then it was like, boom, red pill moment for you. So more and more people are waking up to this. It's happening across industry. I know somebody that works at a museum. I don't want to say too much. I know someone that's a very blue collar worker at a museum who is extremely good at their job, who I've known for years, very technical job. You have to know what you're doing. You can't fake it, right? It's a blue collar technical contractor type position. And he's been passed up on several opportunities and promotions for, yes, in this case, literally a black lesbian who doesn't know about those technical things, who's now his boss. Like, it's the degradation of all of the normal things. And it's a problem, and we got to fight it to whatever extent we can. Jen says, were you and your team able to enjoy the eclipse? You know, we didn't have an amazing eclipse here in Florida, but a buddy of mine, I should have grabbed the picture, I posted it in Locals, a buddy of mine in Dallas. Can you grab that real quick? Is that possible? We'll see if Connor can grab it real quick. A buddy of mine in Dallas posted an absolutely spectacular picture. I mean, you guys have all seen some pictures and videos of the eclipse, but pretty freaking cool. Yeah, look at that. So that's above Dallas, Texas. Like, really awesome. How'd you do that so quick? I don't know what you're doing over there with all those buttons. It's really remarkable. But yeah, hopefully you guys got to see something cool. Robert says, why are the Republicans always reactive instead of proactive? Case in point, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, every Republican should have been on all of their respective local channels explaining that women did not, in fact, lose their option for abortion. They actually had the choice of the procedure, and all the legalities that go with it brought right to their doorstep, so they may voice their concerns with their local congressman so as to pass a law that most people could live with. I think this was a big part of why the red wave failed to materialize. Yes, it is a great question. You are basically saying, how is it possible that so many people are still confused as to what all of the issues are? So Roe v. Wade gets flipped. Most people that have any sense of what the law is, regardless of your feelings on abortion, I explained this the other day, felt that the reversal of Roe v. Wade was right because there was no constitutionally guaranteed right to an abortion. It's obviously not something that was in the Constitution to make it a federal level. And things that are not in the Constitution as federally guaranteed, now equal opportunity under the law, things like that are, but things that are not guaranteed under the Constitution are all kicked back to the states. So all Roe v. Wade did, it did not make abortion illegal, it just kicked it back to the states, and the states now can make their decisions as you laid out, and they can make those decisions accordingly. And you could be in a place like Florida, which has now done the heartbeat bill 6 weeks. That's a little tight for me, but I have to decide where I put abortion in the importance of in that hierarchy and decide, okay, well, if abortion is number one and I disagree with my state, I maybe will move. But maybe do I have to move to a state that now has income tax? And if that state has income tax, but abortion policy I'm more in line with, do I want to be there because I don't want to pay income tax? These are all the things that we have to figure out. But you're completely right. Republicans or right-leaning people, let's say, usually are much more reactive than proactive. And the simple reason for that is people that tend to be a bit more conservative are out there living their lives, not trying to rejigger society all the time. They're living their lives. They're out there with their families. They're building businesses. They're doing productive things. The activist class is largely Democrat because they just want the world to be bent in their direction. So there's a energy there. You know, I keep talking about energy chasers. There's an energy there. That's why young people are into it. My God, all of these people before me were idiots. I will fix everything. And then you get older and you start realizing, oh, this story has been told before and again and again and again. And it's kind of what the meaning of life is all about, right? Like learning a little bit from the generations before you, knowing there was some good stuff there, and maybe you can change some things on the margins. But yes, well, I would say there's an exception to this rule, which is that guy here in Florida who is not just being reactive to all the craziness the Dems do, but going out of his way to pick the right fights and encourage good law-abiding, decent citizens to move here and be part of that flourishing freedom. And we do need more of that, you are quite correct. Jeffrey says, now Kurt Cobain passed away 30 years ago, was Nirvana your taste of music? No, I was never into the grunge thing, the Nirvana thing. That was in my like formative years. I think he passed away in, it was around October 94. Can we get the numbers on that? I believe I think I was a freshman in college. I remember that morning, but April of 94. Okay, so I was a freshman in college, and the day he passed away, that wasn't my style of music. I like more upbeat stuff in general. I didn't like that sort of depressive stuff, but I know why people loved it, like that he was saying something very true within that and everything else. I was in a philosophy of religion class, and I will never forget this. The class, the teacher was really bizarre. He was a really old guy. Nobody really ever knew what he was talking about. He always smelled like weed. Something was up with this guy teaching philosophy of religion. And the class itself was in a big building that it was in a hallway. It was in the middle of the building, so there were no windows, which I always thought was odd in that room. There were no windows. And he came in that morning. There were about 50 of us sitting in the room. He comes in with a boombox, a CD player, does not say anything. He walks in, he puts the boombox on the desk, he presses play, It Smells Like Teen Spirit, which was the big Nirvana song, walks out of the room and shuts the lights. There are no windows. We just sitting in there, complete darkness, with that song playing, and everyone just sat there. And over a few minutes, people started laughing and talking, whatever. And then we all just left eventually, and that was it. I don't know that there's a moral to that story. I guess he just wanted us to, well, he was weird. He was a weird dude. He stunk like weed. So what can I tell you? But yeah, not my thing. Okay, I've got John Bachman on Newsmax in a couple minutes, so I gotta get moving here. Steve says, how long do you think it will be before the woke ideology so thoroughly permeates our country that even traditionally conservative states like Florida and Texas can no longer serve as safe havens? It seems inevitable that we are in a trajectory where America will soon resemble much of Europe. I think some of the states have defenses built in. We've discussed them before, especially as it pertains to Florida. I think that the blue states are seriously screwed. I don't know that the cavalry's coming. I don't know how many good people are left. They've made their choice. Are they going to keep encroaching? Do we have a huge problem because we can't all, the states can't fully protect their borders, at least as of yet? We do, but I'll put it this way. I am bullish on a couple of the states. And I am less bullish on the nation as a whole, and I'm certainly not bullish on the blue states. I think we got one more. Skinny says, question, is Dave ever gonna have Anna Kasparian on the show as she seems to be getting red-pilled? So Anna was, I guess she still is the co-host of The Young Turks. I haven't watched in years. A lot of people have been telling me that she seems to be waking up to a lot of the progressive nonsense. I love the stories of people waking up and getting red-pilled. I would say she's been, let's say, not too kind to me over the years, even though we were quite close for a long time. But if she really wants to get to the end of the road and have that conversation and really wake up, I'd never expect an apology, but maybe an apology before a sit down, I would be happy to have that conversation. Guys, part two of my interview with RFK is up right now. The full thing's already on Locals, absolutely ad-free. I'm sorry there's gonna be no post-game show today because we gotta get to Bachman in a couple of minutes, but you can check that out on Newsmax. I will be live in just moments. We leave you with that woman who always says, the children, the children, the children.
So that's who benefits from it? Donald Trump. Who benefits from Donald Trump? Putin. There's, in my view, a connection there.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.